Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back to Financial Market Insights for Traders, the show where we decode what's really happening behind the scenes in the financial world and how it impacts the markets you trade. I'm your host, Sophia, and today we're going deep into one of the most revealing documents in global finance, the Federal Reserve meeting minutes. Now, I know what you're thinking. Meeting minutes sound bureaucratic, maybe even boring. But when it comes to the Fed, these minutes are gold. They're the closest thing we get to a transcript of what the world's most influential central bankers are really thinking, where they agree, where they disagree, and how close we might be to the next major policy shift. The latest set of minutes from September 2025 give us some powerful clues about where interest rates are headed, what the Federal Reserve is seeing in the economy, and how the 2026 outlook is shaping up. We're going to unpack all of that today. The data, the nuance, the risks, and of course, the potential rate hike and rate cut market impact. So grab a coffee, open up your charts, and let's get into it. The first thing to know is that these new Fed minutes confirm something traders have been sensing for months. The pivot has begun. After 2 years of intense tightening, the Fed is starting to ease its foot off the brake. At the September meeting, they cut the federal funds rate by 25 basis points, bringing it down to a range between 4 and 4.25%. That might sound modest, but symbolically, it's huge. It tells us that the central bank finally believes inflation is moving in the right direction, but they're still not ready to celebrate. The language in the minutes was cautious. Phrases like data-dependent and conditional on sustained progress appeared throughout, signaling that this easing cycle will be slow, careful, and subject to change if inflation shows any sign of bouncing back. So, in plain English, yes, we're cutting rates. But don't get too comfortable. The next big theme is the labor market. For almost 2 years, the Fed's biggest headache was the jobs picture. It was just too strong. Too many openings, too much wage pressure, not enough workers. But the latest data shows that the labor market is finally cooling down. Job creation has slowed. Unemployment has inched up a bit, and wage growth is beginning to ease. Now, the Fed sees that as both a relief and a risk. On the one hand, it helps slow inflation, which is great. But on the other, it raises the risk that they could tighten too much and push the economy into a stall. And that's the fine line they're walking, trying to cool inflation without freezing the economy. Then there's inflation itself. Yes, it's down significantly from the peaks we saw in 2022 and 2023, but it's still above target. Core PCE inflation, the Fed's preferred gauge, is hovering around 2.8 or 2.9%. Not terrible, but not yet the magic 2% that everyone wants. The minutes show that several members are still worried about persistence risks, meaning that even if prices are easing now, there are structural forces that could keep them sticky. Think supply chain shifts, energy volatility, and global trade tensions. In other words, inflation is cooling, but it hasn't surrendered. And here's where it gets interesting. The minutes revealed some genuine disagreement inside the Federal. One member actually wanted to cut rates by 50 basis points instead of 25, arguing that inflation progress warranted a bolder move. Others pushed back, warning that it was too soon and that cutting aggressively could backfire. That kind of dissent tells us something crucial. The Fed isn't united right now. There's an internal tug of war between those who think the battle against inflation is basically won and those who still see danger lurking. And when the Fed isn't on the same page, markets feel it because uncertainty means volatility. There was also a fascinating line in the minutes about the Fed's balance sheet. Remember, they've been shrinking it through quantitative tightening, letting bonds roll off to pull excess liquidity from the system. But now, policymakers are hinting that they might soon pause or slow that process. They're concerned about draining too much liquidity and potentially disrupting financial markets. If they do pause balance sheet reduction, that's essentially another form of easing, even without cutting rates further. It makes financial conditions a bit looser, gives banks more breathing room, and generally helps markets stabilize. So, if you piece all of that together, what does the picture look like for 2026? The most likely scenario is gradual normalization. The Fed doesn't want to slam the brakes anymore, but it's also not going to race into rate cuts. Most analysts expect another 50 to 100 basis points in cuts through 2026, depending on how inflation behaves. If that happens, we'll likely see the policy rate sitting around 3.25% to 3.5% by the end of next year. Growth is expected to slow a bit, maybe around 1.5% to 2%, as the economy adjusts to tighter credit and cautious consumers. But the baseline expectation is still a soft landing. Not booming, but not collapsing either. Now, of course, there are wild cards. Inflation could reaccelerate if energy prices jump again, or if fiscal policy keeps fueling demand. Global supply chains could get messy again, or geopolitical tensions could spike. On the flip side, if job losses pick up faster than expected, the Fed might have to cut rates more aggressively just to keep the economy from stalling. So, flexibility is going to be the name of the game. And that brings us to the fun part, the market impact. Let's talk about how all of this affects what we actually trade. When the Fed cuts rates, growth-oriented stocks, especially tech and consumer names, tend to rally first. Lower discount rates make future earnings look more attractive, so valuations expand. But here's the catch: that only holds if the cuts are seen as proactive, not reactive. If the Fed is cutting because growth is collapsing, the market reaction can flip fast. On the bond side, we're likely to see a steepening yield curve as short-term yields drop faster than long-term ones. That's a healthy sign. It often signals confidence in future growth. It also creates opportunities in the 3 to 7 year range of treasuries, where yields are still attractive but rate risk is manageable. Credit spreads usually tighten when the Fed eases, which is good news for corporate debt investors. But again, if the economy softens too quickly, that optimism can unwind fast. Now, currencies and commodities tell their own story. A dovish Fed tends to weaken the US dollar, and that's usually bullish for emerging markets and for commodities like gold and oil. If rate cuts continue, we could see the dollar lose some of its edge, especially if other central banks start normalizing too. And gold? Well, gold loves falling real yields. It's the classic hedge in an easing cycle. Even crypto markets tend to perk up when liquidity expands. Assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum, which are sensitive to liquidity and sentiment, could see renewed inflows if monetary policy keeps loosening into 2026. So how do you stay ahead of all of this? Keep your eye on 5 indicators: core PCE inflation, non-farm payrolls, wage growth, the tone of Fed communications, and the shape of the yield curve. Together, those 5 metrics will tell you almost everything you need to know about where the economy and markets are heading next. As for positioning, this isn't a time for extremes. It's a time for flexibility. Diversify across assets, manage your duration risk carefully, and stay alert to sector rotation opportunities. We're entering a period of adjustment, not a full-blown boom, but not a crisis either. The big takeaway from this Fed analysis is clear. The pivot is real, but fragile. Inflation progress is real, but incomplete. And the road to normalization will be uneven, which means traders who can adapt quickly will have the advantage. And speaking of adapting, if you're serious about turning analysis into action, you need tools that actually keep up with you. I recommend checking out crystalballmarkets.com. It's a world-class, cutting-edge, and genuinely user-friendly trading platform built for the modern trader. Their interface, analytics, and execution tools make it easier to stay ahead of market moves, not behind them. And if you want to keep sharpening your trading mindset, the Crystal Ball Markets podcast is a fantastic resource. It's designed for traders at every level, from beginners learning the basics to experienced investors who want to understand the deeper macro picture. So, go give them a listen. You'll thank me later. That's all for today's episode of Financial Market Insights for Traders. I'm Sophia, and as always, thank you for joining me. Stay informed. stay disciplined, and most importantly, stay ready, because when the Fed moves, the markets always follow.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.